Our Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 6. The word of the Lord, the gathering of the dispersed. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise above you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gathered around together, and they shall come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multiple of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Praise be to God.
The gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Well, except that I'm in Malachi and not Matthew, so that's going to be a completely different chapter 2. I apologize. It's what happens when I do that without reading glasses on. You know, the M's, they all look alike to me. Okay. Here we go. This makes a lot more sense. Hear the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who was born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east as it at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet. For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. I love this story. I love it for a lot of different reasons. But right now, we're looking at people who are really, really weary. And sometimes they're really weary of Christmas. Maybe you started hearing the complaints and the laments. "I'm just so tired." You know, networks started showing Christmas movies about mid-October. And so some of us felt obliged. We needed to watch them. The music started playing just about the same time, and there was so much shopping. And we were so preoccupied with all of these things and hearing them over and over and over again that even those of us in the church somehow got carried away. And we got wrapped up in all the busyness of Christmas without attending to the purpose of Christmas and the peace of Christmas. It's one of the reasons that I wanted to go ahead and have Epiphany today. Technically, Epiphany was yesterday, January the 6th. And yet in many countries, that begins what we would call the Christmas season. In fact, there are some countries that today they're celebrating Christmas because it's not the birth of the child, but it's the day that the kings came and presented the gifts, the Magi. I love that. And it hurts my heart every time I let myself get carried away into the Christmas spirit way too early, so that by the time I get to mid-December, I am thinking, phew, and we're not even there yet. Oh, it's a battle, isn't it? We want to be so much part of the culture. We want to be with everyone else. And yet, this is God's holiday, Christmas and Epiphany, and then later on, Easter and Pentecost. God reminds us, I'm going to take care of you all the way through your lives, all the way, all the twists and the turns, because God's purpose is for us to see the glory and to feel the wonder and not get so carried away. It's hard. It's hard that we live in a world right now that starts celebrating Christmas so very early that sometimes we forget. So I love having this story, the visit of the wise men. I've been in churches before that they have had figurines of the wise men, and they start in the back of the sanctuary the first Sunday of Advent, and they slowly move up until by Epiphany, they're here, just to remind us what's happening. This Epiphany is a reminder that the word means that it's an experience of something sudden and striking realization. And for us that pay attention to who the wise men were and what this is about, we can remember. The core of Epiphany is really what is revealed. But then it goes beyond that and it asks us, how do we respond to that? How do we respond to these three wise men? Oh, but we don't know if there were three, do we? Some studies have said that there probably were several, but we take it that there were three because there were three gifts. And so we think that maybe there were three, but what if there were 10? What if there were 15? That all of a sudden, as Mary is at home with her child, all of these men, these very learned men from outside her country, have come to worship her baby. I love that. Because Epiphany reminds us, we're asked to respond, and so here is our chance to do it. The Magi and the star help us understand, but we also need to be reminded that we have a place in this story as well. We have a place where we seek out God, where we seek out the love of the Christ child, when we seek out the joy of being part of the world with Jesus and everything that entails. And Epiphany helps us remember. Sometimes those of us that have been around for a little while, we think, you know, the Christian world is slowly shrinking, and it is. If you look at all of the statistics, church attendance is shrinking. People who say that they're Christian, that number is shrinking. Everything is shrinking. But this gives us a chance to realize that we have a place in this story. We're not just bystanders. We have a place to be the Magi, to visit Christ, and to see how is it that we celebrate the birth, yes, but maybe the life, and we find our place. The first thing is that the Magi in action taught us how to worship. They gave of themselves utterly and completely to the only one worthy of praise, and that's Jesus. They showed such profound reverence, and they brought him gifts, but they gave the gifts only after they worshiped. Did you notice that? There was a phrase that was used 3 times in the scripture that I read. Did you catch it? It's paying homage. The wise men started this journey to pay homage. In fact, Herod even says, "Please let me know where he is so that I may pay homage." And then at the very end, we heard it a 3rd time, as the wise men found him, as the Magi found him, and they paid homage. They showed total respect to this child. Now, we know how this story goes, and we know that Herod was just using words to try to trick the Magi. And then we see that according to this story, the Magi paid homage first, and then they gave the gifts. Their priority was to honor and to worship the child. That's first and foremost. In this story, we also see the chief priests and the scribes. They knew, and they had the information from the scriptures. And in fact, we read in here that it's in what we consider the Old Testament that we see those references to the baby Jesus being born. We find it in Micah. We find it in 2 Samuel. We find it in Numbers, 1 Kings, Isaiah, and Psalms. And yet, with all of that that has been written down, that doesn't even count the stories that are passed through. That doesn't even count what we know may or may not happen. Even then, when Jesus was born, most people didn't even recognize that the Messiah is here. The Messiah is born. Wouldn't it be great if after all of these years later, we do recognize the Messiah? And yet we know better. We know we don't. We know that sometimes we gloss over that part because, it's just too complicated. I don't understand it. It's just easier just to say, well, let's move on now. It's important to notice that when King Herod said, "Let me know, because I want to go and pay homage to the Christ child too." And so he had these Magi around him. And he sent them out, and he said, "When you find out where the Christ child is, let me know, because then I can go." But the Magi, the word itself implies they're very smart. what we would call smarty pants, maybe, because they were just so smart. And they figured out that King Herod wasn't really telling the truth. And so they did not go back to him and report, but they left. And do you remember what it says in Scripture? This is the hard part. This is the hard part because King Herod was so incensed that the Magi did not come back to report. And he was so feared this young child that he ordered the killing of all babies age 2 and under. It's kind of how we know that at the time of the Magi visit, Jesus was probably about 2 years old. This wasn't like the scenes that we do when the Magi come in the manger. This is a child. And King Herod feared this child so much that innocent children were killed. I get this. I get this. Because sometimes we are the outsiders. And yet, you see, in this story, it's the outsiders that understood that understood the meaning of the birth of Jesus more than those who have possession of the scriptures where it was proclaimed. It's a great reminder to us. When I was a teacher, sometimes I would have, like, imagine this, a 10, 12-year-old that told me that I was wrong about something that I had taught in a lesson. Imagine that, the impertinence. And I would, when I was a really young teacher in my first year or two, I thought, they can't tell me. I'm the teacher. I'm supposed to tell them. And yet, they were wrong a lot. But what if they were right? Because they were often. They got it right sometimes. They did understand more than I understood about whatever this was. And that's what happened here. The outsiders, the people outside of Israel, the people outside of what of the Hebrew faith, understood the birth of this child more than those who had it right in front of them. Oh, if God could only remind us. Well, today as we celebrate Epiphany, today as we get ready to celebrate Holy Communion, the beginning of the life of Jesus, what Jesus left us before he left the earth, when we get ready to move on beyond the Christmas season, may we remember that we can pay homage to God every day, that we can pay homage to the Christ child, to the adult Jesus, to Jesus on the cross, to the resurrected Jesus every day. May we remember that God asks us to worship together, because together in community, you teach me so much more than I know on my own. And then may we give ourselves to the Christ child. May it be so, not just for this season of Epiphany, not just for this new year that has just begun, but may it be so for each day that we have been given to walk this earth, to recognize Christ in each other, and then to pay homage to God Almighty. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.